You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
At the time of his death in 1910, Leo Tolstoy was the most famous man in Russia with a growing international following and more revered by many than the Tsar. Although he'd been born into an aristocratic family, Tolstoy spent his life rebelling against conventional ideas about class, literature, and art, and expounded on his theories about education, family life, organized religion, and the state. Rosamund Bartlett has written the first biography of him in 20 years, telling the story of his journey from insensitive youth to writer to would-be prophet. Tolstoy, A Russian Life, is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and I'm very pleased it has brought Rosamund Bartlett to our show today. Hello.
Hello.
Did your interest in Chekhov lead you to Tolstoy?
It absolutely did, actually. I wasn't planning to write a biography of Tolstoy at all. And I was going to have a lunch with the editor of my Chekhov biography, and my agent said, well, you know he's going to ask you what your next book is going to be. And for some reason, the word Tolstoy jumped out of my mouth, and it's a pretty crazy proposition, actually, but that became a reality.
Well, he's a particularly challenging subject for a biographer because he was so adept at telling his own story, and then everybody who knew him also wrote about him, and there have been lots of biographies. He's been the subject of books, plays, even a movie about the last days of his life.
He's certainly the writer about whom there is the most information in Russia, and the biggest challenge for a biographer is actually trying to make sense of it, because he set up a kind of sort of orthodox life while he was still alive. It was contributed to by all his contemporaries, and there's an enormous bibliography to wade through.
Well, how much can you trust of the literature? For example, the way he describes his childhood in childhood, which seems to be pretty autobiographical.
Well, most of his great fiction is autobiographical in some form or other. Even the female characters contain something of Tolstoy's own personality. He projected himself into most of his fictional creations. But it's interesting that when he submitted Childhood, which was his first piece of published fiction, to the journal in Petersburg in 1852, he called it Childhood, and then the editor of the journal decided to call it My Childhood. And Tolstoy was very, very irate about that, because actually he is writing about childhood in general, and that's one of the great qualities of his prose, that he's got this extraordinary universalism. And so actually it was understandably offensive to him that it was called My Childhood.
And perhaps that's what makes him such a great writer. When we read Anna Karenina, we see ourselves in her and in Vronsky and in every other character in that novel. The same thing with War and Peace. And I remember reading Death of Ivan Ilyich and starting to feel a lot of pain.
Yes, Tolstoy's fiction is really timeless as well. It stretches beyond nations and it seems very contemporary still.
You write that from the outset, Tolstoy conducted his self-analysis on the pages of his diary, so that must have helped you.
Well,
how much could you trust him?
He wrote with painstaking honesty about his failings often, and you know, set himself these impossible standards. So he never met them and was always writing in his diaries about how much he sort of loathed himself for not being able to sort of live up to his own expectations. And I think we can trust the things he said, just because he used the diaries as a kind of way for understanding himself, and it was a sort of lifetime's project.
But he also tells us his ideas in all of his fiction. We probably learn more about his ideas from his fiction than from his public statements and polemical articles. So we understand what he thinks about marriage from Anna Karenina and the Kreutzer Sonata, his thoughts about warfare from War and Peace and Haji Murad, because he tells us everything.
And I think actually the fiction is the truest source for insight into Tolstoy, because when he was writing his diaries, of course, his wife was reading them. She was writing diaries that he was reading. They were for public consumption. They were almost for posterity. So I think, yes, we do find the truest Tolstoy in his fiction.
Didn't his wife, his long-suffering wife, also write a memoir?
She did, and last year it was published for the first time, and in English rather than in Russian, which is a sad comment on the state of publishing in Russia today. It's over 1,000 pages. It weighs 2.5 kilograms. And actually, it seems that she was sort of emulating her husband in writing, you know, huge, great opuses.
Well, did you learn anything new from that?
It's a vital source for understanding the marriage. However, it was a book that Sonia wrote at the end of her life when her husband was already dead, most of it. She started writing while he was still alive, but most of it was written afterwards. And it's full of self-justification, actually, because she's had a very, very difficult time with her husband's great disciple, Vladimir Chertkov, who was blackening her reputation. And so she sort of wanted to be able to stick up for herself, quite rightly. But that also means it's sort of slightly heavy going at times.
Although most people have sided with her, and you're kinder to Chertkov than most of the people who've written about this situation.
Well, I must say, I also approached writing about Chertkov with the same reservations that everyone else has had. I mean, he's
We should say Chertkov, not Chekhov.
Not Chekhov, yes. And yet, I must say, because I took my study of Tolstoy's life into his afterlife in the 20th century, I came away at the end having, against my will almost, some admiration for him, because you find him writing letters to Stalin, to Molotov, to try and get the whole project of Tolstoy's complete works going, because Lenin had famously committed to publishing everything by Tolstoy. And so he was committed to this project to the end of his days, when he was a very sick man, and he stuck up for all the Tolstoyans who were being persecuted in Soviet Russia. And you can't help having some admiration for him in the end.
Well, these people followed Tolstoy's ideas, although Tolstoy didn't always follow his own pronouncements. And for a while that was acceptable, and then they were persecuted. Why did Stalin not accept it? Because they were anti-war?
They were two perfect communists. They were living this ideal communist lifestyle. They abolished private property. They were living lives of manual labor on the land. They wanted to do away with money, and it was too alternative a lifestyle in the new Bolshevik society. And so they refused to be, of course, conscripted into the army, and that pacifism, which is right at the core of Tolstoy's teachings, was something very difficult for the Bolsheviks.
One of his friends described him as a mixture of poet, Calvinist, fanatic, nobleman, something reminiscent of Rousseau, but more honest than Rousseau, highly moral and at the same time unattractive. And yet people were drawn to him and became his acolytes died for it.
One of the reasons I wanted to write the biography was that I've spent a long time at university teaching Anna Karenina and War and Peace, and you end up getting a little bit fed up with his didacticism, and I wanted to discover his greatness. And I'm also translating Anna Karenina now, and it's a wonderful experience. And really, what I've discovered in writing about Tolstoy is that, yes, despite the fact that he's such an incredible narcissist and, you know, everything is about him all the time, he was this compelling, charismatic person, and his daughters were totally devoted to him, for example. And to read all these accounts of people who went to see him and came away wanting perhaps not to like him, but nevertheless coming away feeling that this was a really great man, that has a big impact.
Is he particularly difficult to translate? Because Anna Karenina, War and Peace have been translated so many times, and each new translation promises to be the one that finally gets Tolstoy.
Well, I don't think we can have a definitive translation in the same way that I don't think we can ever have a definitive biography of Tolstoy. I think it would be very reductive. But just yesterday I was up at Columbia University talking about translating Anna Karenina, and discussing with students and professors there how difficult it is to translate Tolstoy, because he's got this style all his own. He dispenses with sort of rhetorical devices, but he writes these enormously long, involved sentences, lots of gerunds and participles, which are actually a nightmare for an English person to translate. And
do they work better in Russian?
They work fine in Russian, although even in Russian, his style seems quite clunky at some respects. But there's nevertheless this great majesty to it, and the challenge is to try and sort of render that in English if you possibly can.
Dostoevsky sometimes comes across as clunky as well. Is it because of the way Russian was being written at the time, or In his case, we're usually told it's because he had to speed up the writing of these books so that he didn't wind up having to pay a penalty.
Well, these are both great writers who are, in a way, creating their own literary language. Dostoevsky is a very different writer to Tolstoy. He incorporates all kinds of different registers and languages within his own literary language. Tolstoy tends to sort of keep to his own style, but they are, in a way, paving new ground with the way in which they're writing Russian.
And they were rivals, but did they ever meet?
They were once in the same building, but they were rivals, and none of those great writers really got on very well, because Turgenev had a famous prickly relationship with Dostoevsky and with Tolstoy, and Tolstoy claimed to regret never meeting Dostoevsky, but I don't think they'd have really got on.
My guest is Rosamund Bartlett. Her latest book, Tolstoy, A Russian Life. It's published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Well, Dostoevsky went from being a radical to a very conservative person. Tolstoy seems to have gone in the opposite direction, an aristocrat who lived a rather reckless life as a youth, who then becomes, at least on paper, an ascetic.
Well, he actually did live a fairly ascetic life towards the end of his life. He started becoming vegetarian. He'd been a passionate huntsman. He gave that up. He gave up drinking alcohol. He gave up smoking. He went around dressed in this peasant shirt, which is still today in Russian called the Tolstovka, after him.
And what do we attribute to this change to?
Well, he was really driven by a sense of injustice in Russia, and a sense that the biggest problem to overcome was social inequality and poverty. And I can't help thinking these days about how prescient his ideas were, actually. We're seeing all these Occupy protests springing up all over the world. And they're also about poverty and corporate greed. And Tolstoy was railing about social injustice during the last 30 years of his life. And we have to also admire him for the fact that, you know, he could have just retired. He never retired. And he wanted to live a life, he wanted to live the life of a true Christian. He wanted to be able to follow Christian precepts. And he found that actually the official church seemed to sort of get in the way of doing that.
Well, for a man who wanted to do that, he made his wife's life rather miserable. I think you could have described their marriage as war and peace. He grew up without his mother. His mother died when he was very young, and there were a lot of women who played a major role in his life. I was surprised in reading this book to learn about his sister Masha. I don't think I'd ever heard that story before. She left her husband, went abroad, had a baby with another man, later became a nun. You can't help but see parallels with Anna Karenina in that story.
Absolutely. And she's a very interesting character. And I often think that in writing biographies, it's good to bring in the secondary characters, because they can shed a new light on the central figure. And particularly with Tolstoy, he was very devoted to his sister. And while he was going further and further away from the official church, she was becoming a nun. And she indeed led a very difficult life with this illegitimate daughter. And one of the most interesting publications that I was able to draw on was the correspondence of Tolstoy with his brothers and with his sister, in which she actually identifies herself with Anna Karenina.
Well, what was the basis of his great works, Anna Karenina and War and Peace, and then The Death of Ivan Ilyich? He came to writing late, didn't he? Didn't go to university?
He went to university, but being someone who was an innate rebel, he never accepted any authority, let alone university authority. He was a student at Kazan University, which was actually a very distinguished place of learning, one of the first universities to be set up in Russia. But he left without graduating and came into his inheritance and frittered a lot of it away before deciding he was going to become a writer. So he was not someone who'd sort of begun from a very early age thinking he was going to become a writer, but had a great talent from it.
Do you think that to some degree his life is similar to what we saw with St. Augustine, a man who develops a certain kind of ascetic approach because he is embarrassed by the life he led when he was younger?
I think there are some very great parallels to be drawn, particularly with that wonderful work of spiritual autobiography that Tolstoy wrote in the 1870s after finishing Anna Confession. That's a work which can very well be compared to St. Augustine's Confessions. And a lot of the drive for Tolstoy was this feeling of guilt, and that was something he shared with a lot of people in Russia.
So depending on how you view those things, we either see his last days as being rather tragic or that he was totally crazy.
Well, I think a lot of people have not taken Tolstoy's spiritual beliefs and his latter years very seriously, and that's actually something that I'm different in. I do pay quite a lot of attention to his whole role in Russian life in the last 30 years of his life. I mean, it was a longer period, after all, than the period he spent being a full-time writer of fiction. And I don't know that we can easily dismiss his ideas as being totally cranky, just because they're all reappearing now and seem very much contemporary.
Rosamund Bartlett is the author of an acclaimed biography, Chekhov, Scenes from a Life. She is translating, or has translated, Anna Karenina.
And that I'm in book the middle is, of that.
And that will be coming from Oxford World's Classics. Right now we have from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, Tolstoy, A Russian Life. And I want to thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.